Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Go to theathletic.com/downtodunk and get The Athletic for a discounted rate. Man, we've got Mekele Barra here as always on Mondays. Mekele, last night we saw a game that was enjoyable from the Oklahoma City Thunder. This was the perfect moral victory for the Thunder, in which you see them compete for 48 minutes. You get good things out of your major building blocks in Shai, Dort, and Giddey. And you get good vibes at a home game in the arena. You get somebody winning $20,000 hitting the half-court shot. Just overall, just a wonderful night here in OKC.
It was a very, very good game. I mean, I woke up at 5:30 with absolutely no expectations. Yeah. I thought, well, I usually look at the number of texts that are in the group chat, and I said 14. Oh, no. This is going to be a 70 points
Embiid. Yeah, the DTD group chat was pretty... There was not a lot going on in it last night. I don't know why. I don't know if it's Sunday night game or what it was, but yeah.
Yeah, so after the first quarter, I said, okay, well, we lasted 12. Now it comes the... And then, wow, 24. Wow, yeah. 36 minutes of real basketball. This is awesome.
It was really great. I mean, starting with Shai just getting on track, right? Just after maybe the first quarter, I don't know when it started to really click for him, but he started to get in the lane. I think, honestly, it was when he wasn't playing with Derek Favors. And that's going to be something to watch for, is that having a big that can shoot. And this is something we talked about it all summer. Like, what would you rather have? Like a rim running big? Well, they don't really have a rim running big, but would you rather have a big guy that takes up space in the paint that's going to score on the rim? Or do you want a big that's going to stretch the floor? And I think with the combination of Shai and Giddey, I think it's quite obvious that you would rather have a big that stretches the floor. Because you saw when Mike and when JRE were in there that Shai was able to get where he wanted a lot easier, especially with Mike, is able to get to where he wanted so much easier than when Faves was in there.
Yeah, that is right. I think that like Muscala or JRE are not the only types of thank you, Tyler. I just went off of work. That's why. Nothing special.
No. This is hold on. Anyway, I need to address this real quick. We're getting all the comments in the chat on YouTube. This is another reason to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com, search Down to Dunk, and subscribe, because you get to see Mekele looking amazing. Just he looks just so good.
I just have a tie. This is mandatory at my office.
No, you look great. This is my mandatory office gear right here. But man, this is worth subscribing and watching the YouTube page, by the way. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Apart from that, I think that a stretch big makes things extremely easier for a guy like Shai. I'm not sure if it's the only type, because like as of now, Shai is not getting any spot up look.
Yeah.
Like no one. And not one. So I think that if you have a big that can like play the post, like be a rim runner and also playing the post and maybe trying to be creative from there, that is another way in which a lineup can work. Yeah. But shooting, like it's clear. Like when you have Muscala in the corner, Embiid knows that he cannot leave him. And so he cannot commit to patrol the paint. And Shai is very good at waiting, recognizing when Embiid has to step out and just do it. And he did it against, I mean, two of the best defenders. Maybe not Danny Green, not anymore, but Patrice Thybulle is very good.
Yeah.
And he just had nothing for Shai.
He didn't. He was so good against Matisse, which makes you feel really, really good, because there were the first two games, Shai just didn't look like himself. You know, and he admitted mm-hmm. that, you know, owned that mm-hmm. after the game. He wasn't looking it's really hard to play with these new guys. Which he could say that. Listen, like, this is a young team and they don't know where they're supposed to be and it's really hard to play with them. And that's mm-hmm. valid, right? Like, that's absolutely
yes.
a valid excuse for not playing well. But he doesn't do that. He says, you know, I've got to adjust. I've got to get better. And he was better. It also helps when you have Josh Giddey playing the way that he did yesterday. He finished with 19, 8, and 7, 4 steals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He hit a 3 there in the corner toward the end of the game to cut the lead to 8. An outstanding performance from him. He only shot 3 free throws. He was 2 of 3. He was outstanding. He had the floater game going, which I thought was the most impressive part of his offensive night, is that he has that in his bag. And then he obviously, the passing, again, was superb. And one of the things I noticed, I went back and rewatched some possessions this morning, and the way that the opportunities that he is specifically giving to Darius Baisley are about as good mm. as you could hope for if you're Baze.
And yet
things aren't working out well for him yet. But I will say that they are putting him in position to hit open corner threes and to attack closeouts with passes that are just right on target. And that those things are really, really important, because you want to talk about development and, like, just having good passes from guys on the court. I think Shea's gotten better as a passer. I think Giddey's really good. Having two good passers that are lead guards for your team is so helpful for the development of, like, standstill scores. Like, Baze is not necessarily a standstill scorer, but, like, I think it's what he may ultimately end up being. Dort's kind of more mm-hmm. of that. JRE is certainly that. Like, you know, Kenrich. Like, it's just really helpful for all those guys in their development.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And the thing that I liked the most about Giddey and Shea is that the first two games was kind of like out of sync.
Yeah.
And I thought that last night Shea had his moments, but they also tried to run screens for each other at the top of the key.
Yeah.
That is something that I want to see more. And the rhythm was there. I mean, when you have rhythm, like, Giddey is such a rhythm player. Like, it's almost like he follows his own theme and when the team is following him, like, everything works better, everything looks smooth, and yeah, I think that, again, by the end of the season we'll see that Giddey will handle most of the possessions that are against, like, a set defense mm-hmm. and maybe it's just a single pick and roll, and then you handle the ball you hand the ball to Shea and he cooks from there. But the initial action, the initial pick and roll, I mean, you can see, like, Giddey has such a great court vision. That is, it's just a pity to put him in the corner. I mean, he can relocate afterwards, mm-hmm. but initially, like, let him attack, let him create, and Shea can feed off of him. Again, if you move the defense, and Shea can have maybe Breed instead of Matisse Thybulle against him, that is better. I mean, he can beat Thybulle, but can you imagine if he handles, like, half of his possessions against a sub defender because Giddey already moved the box and find, like, a better matchup for him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have as many bad possessions. Not bad possessions, but, like, misplaced confidence possessions last night from other players.
Yeah.
It was mostly Shea and Giddey, which is what you want. Like, these are the really the only elite creators on the team. And then, like,
yeah.
Am I just insane to think that the next in line is Trey Mann?
Kind of. You're kind of mad. Like, I think he can create for himself.
Create for himself, yes. Create a shot for himself.
Better than the most. Yes.
Better than everybody, in my opinion, right? Who am I missing out? Who am I missing? Dort?
I think that Kenrich is a good creator.
Yeah, for both himself and others. Yeah, he is.
Among the young guys, yes.
I need more Trey Mann, honestly.
He's fun. he is really fun.
Yeah.
And he's creative with his, like, not with his shot, but how he gets to the basket. I mean, it's good to see him playing.
He's tall too. To me, he's legit 6'5 out there. And yeah, he's real skinny, and it will take some time for him to fill out. But the fact that he's 6'5 and not 6'3 is kind of a big deal.
Oh, that helps.
And he's got big hair too.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's 6'6 almost out there.
Yeah, and if you think that he's a 6'3 point guard, then you're not as concerned about the wingspan,
mm-hmm.
which is not positive. Yes, right. but he is 6'5, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I mean, the rotation will settle. I'm convinced of that. We already saw today, like it was the last hour or maybe a little bit earlier, that Vid Krejci is assigned to the blue.
Yep.
We'll see more of this.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
see like a lot of guys getting minutes there and not with the grown-ups. For sure, though, in terms of guards, apart from Shea and Giddy, who will play and will play a lot and should play 30-plus every single night, I think that Manny is the next in line. I mean, if you consider Kenrich to be a forward. Theo has been terrible, and Ty just couldn't hit anything from three. Mm-hmm. So, but Theo is I'm kind of worried about last night. And even the first two games, you say, well, everyone played bad to awfully bad.
Mm-hmm.
But he was terrible last night. And
yep.
most of the team wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just kind of out there, you know? And he's not mm-hmm. horrible on defense, but he's not good.
Yeah.
No. Offensively, you start to kind of wonder, like, if he doesn't hit spot up threes, it's like, really, what is he supposed to be when he's on the court? Because he's not a great creator. He's not great in the pick and roll. He's a good but not great passer. I mean, the thing about the NBA is that if you want to be in the rotation, you have to either be good at lots of things or great at one or two things, right? Like mm-hmm. Dort's a great defender, and he's good at other things. But the great defender will
yeah.
always get him out there. I would say that, you know, Josh Giddy, great passer. Good at other things, but great passer. Like, he's going to play a lot. Kenrich Williams, great defender, good at other things. Theo, what's he good? What's he good at is the question.
I mean, I think that he's kind of lost somewhere, because I remember him being way more assertive
mm-hmm.
During some games last season. In preseason, we saw like the best version of him, probably.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best game that he had was, I think, the first or second game that he had in preseason.
Yep.
And then I kind of, like, we said, wow, this is very mature. He's playing with so much poise. And then the poise went away.
Mm-hmm.
The shot from three went away. And now, like, no poise, no real creation, no shot, which is the real issue. Because if you have a 6'5 guard that can play defense, and he's a reliable shooter, that 6'5 guard will find place in the time in the league. But the shooting it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, like, he had an air ball, basically, from the corner.
Yeah.
It was a wide open shot.
It was wide open.
He has no rhythms and probably no, it's kind of in a lack of faith in himself somehow.
Mm-hmm. You knew, I remember that play, when the ball came off his fingertips, you just knew there's no chance that ball's going in.
It was just
not happening.
Even before. It was not like one, like, if you look Seth Curry like shooting, like, that is perfect movement. He catches, he's already moving
mm-hmm.
and like towards the shot motion, it's, you can see that the ball will go in. And Maledon, it was, I think it was a bit afraid of taking that shot. You can see man, like with man, you can see when he's going in and when it's not. Mm-hmm. And over the past few games, you can see like when he has his feet set, boom, that's automatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not saying like we should give up on Teo, throw him to the blue, cut him, trade him, whatever. Like that's not how I feel. It's just
maybe
we
a few games with the blue
more, and that
maybe just to regain some confidence.
The team believes in him because they're giving him minutes, and not everybody's getting minutes, which is a great transition to our guy Alexei Pokushevsky, and we will talk about Poku right after this quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back after that quick break. We've got to talk about Poku. 6 minutes, 43 seconds in this game. Did more than Teo in his 6 minutes, and Teo got double the minutes. He got 13 minutes, 4 points, a rebound. He did get blocked by Embiid. He's got his three blocked by Tybal. I didn't think he was that bad in those minutes. However, I thought that the assist that he had was really nice. I thought the way that he played pretty steady to me. He scored 4 points. I don't know. I thought he was fine in those minutes, and then you just didn't see him again until the last few seconds of the game. And so it's a little confusing to me because this is a developmental year, and a guy like Poku should be getting more time. Like, honestly, like if this were a team, like if this were the Charlotte Hornets, and Kenrich and Poku were on the Charlotte Hornets, it'd be no question that Kenrich Williams should be playing over Alexei Pokushevsky.
Yes.
Because the Charlotte Hornets would like to be in the playoffs. They would like to be 6 seed or higher. That's their goal.
Yeah.
The Thunder's goal is to have the first overall pick in the NBA draft. And Poku is more helpful in that manner. Now, there's a lot of factors at play. And there's a lot of guys that they want to play on this roster. I think they want to see Vit Krejci. I think they want to see Isaiah Roby. Both of them didn't play at all last night. I think they want to see Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome didn't touch the floor last night. So it's not like he's getting DMPs, which is good. No DMP CDs for Poku, but he is getting limited minutes, in which case I said on Thunder After Dark with John Hamm last night that I asked Mark about it after the game, and he mentioned that guys will be sent down to the blue. He said that doesn't necessarily mean Poku will be sent to the blue. But I would rather him play 6 minutes with the Thunder and 30 minutes with the blue, you know, during the week than just 6 minutes with the Thunder, you know? Like, I think he needs to... I think he... above a lot of these other guys for development needs to play. I just think he needs to play.
Yeah. And he needs to play with good players.
Yeah.
Like James Henderson in the chat says something that I really like. And to me, it's the point of this season. Like James says, give Poku some of Beasley's minutes, especially while he's struggling. I think that is valid. And you can also take 5, 6, 7 minutes from Maledon, because you don't have to play Teo. You can play Mann, Giddy, and Shea. You have enough guards there. Yeah. You have Dort. So you have already your guard rotation set. You can play Poku with Kenrich, Giddy, and Shea as the four man. Well, you can even play like Beasley at the 5 and Poku at the 4. Just play around with it. Mm-hmm. You want to play JRE 15? Great, do it. But give Poku that time, because I think that if you want him to be your creator this season, like probably you'll be disappointed. But I think that it's important for him to learn how to play off of Shea, off of Giddy, off of Kenrich. And that to me is missing right now. He's playing with discombobulated unit with Maledon as the point guard.
Yeah.
This will like with no spacing. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm not sure I like.
Yeah, I don't like it
the
either.
Way.
I'd rather see him start over Bazley, just flat out. And the Bazley's done some good things, and he's had some rough nights too.
Yeah,
it's been a mixed bag overall, but. You know, selfishly, for my own enjoyment, I would like to see Poku starting over Darius Bazley. and that's kind of what it all comes down to, everybody. Is that selfishly? That's what I want to see. Because it's just more fun for me. Is Bazley... And like, I don't know, who's the better defender right now? Because I don't think Poku's that bad.
No, it's not bad. It's not as physical, though.
Can't be as physical yet. Certainly, yeah.
And you can't have him guard like a very strong guy. He's more like a guard / wing defender than a wing / forward defender.
Yeah, because I mean, here's the problem. Said on Wednesday night, Anthony Davis is playing the power forward, and will there be minutes of Poku guarding AD? Like the answer is no.
No,
I can tell you already. I don't need to see it. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to put him in that position. Is Bazley going to guard Anthony Davis? 100%. Yes, he will. And does Bazley give up strength and size and everything against him?
Yep. Yes.
He does. But Bazley is more experienced, and they're going to give him every shot. And also, there is some truth to the fact that This is like a contract year for Darius, right? Like they have to know what he is. Because if there's a moment where things just click for Darius this season, and like they don't want to miss out on that is really what it comes down to. They need to know. And I know a lot of fans are just out, and that's okay. You can have that opinion. Everybody can have whatever opinion they want to have on him. But if I were running the team, I don't know that I would be doing things all that different with regards to the starting lineup. Now, however, I would want Poku to play more off the bench. But I would want to know what to do with Darius as well. You know, I want to see him against starting level players. Who can he hang with? Who is he not able to hang with? Like, give me a sample size. Yeah. Like, give me a 50-game sample size of who Darius is playing against, how he looked against these players. Who is he better than at the four position? Is it nobody? Because perhaps it's nobody. Like, that could be the answer that you get to after 50 games. And if that's the case, we're not going to extend him. You know, we're going to even let it, we're even going to do like the qualifying offer with them or something like that. Like we don't need to do this song and dance with Darius, or maybe there's somebody that is interested in him and will give us a top 20 protected first round pick for Darius, which seems insane to me today, but perhaps that's out there. Then you go ahead and go do that. But I think that it just all comes down to, like, you just need to know. Like, you just have to know beyond the shadow of the doubt, especially with these young guys, what to do. They have more time with Poku. They've got more time to figure it out and to slow play it. And frankly, we don't know what he's working on in practice. We don't know what he's working on in the weight room. We don't know what the trainers are saying. We are operating with such a small amount of information. You know, this isn't just like 2K where it's like, let me set the rotation and let's just go have fun.
Yeah.
But there's real like human body development to do with Poku, you know? Like that's the way that it
still,
is.
Still it is a little bit weird. Let's put it this way. That is, the 6 is very low.
It's too low.
Even accounting everything. So
it's too low.
I'm fine to, I agree that you need to know about Bazley. And there are moments where Bazley does very good things on the court. Not too many. And with him, same thing that we said for Maradona. I mean, the three ball has to fall in order for Basile to be a better player. I remember in the first year being obsessed by the fact that that guy couldn't finish. But hey, the three looked good. And now we are kind of at the opposite of the spectrum. It is weird.
He's trying to dunk things more than just, like, he would get to the rim and just try to lay it up, or would get there and throw things up. Now he's like, all right, I'm just going to dunk it when I get there, which is great. Like,
which is good.
That's what he should do. Yeah. Now if we can just get the three ball back that he had his rookie season, then you're talking about a very helpful player. Like, if he's hitting 38% of his threes and attacking a closeout like that, like, that's a real player. And the fact is, like, he I think he has it in him to do that. And he's got to put it together. And if we could be at game 45 and we're like, wow, like, man, Baze is taking four threes a game. He's hitting 38%. He's, you know, averaging 12 points per game on 45% from the field, 38% from three. Like, wow, what a nice step forward.
Yeah.
And would things have to be that different, you know, than they are now, besides just the ball going in the hoop? Like, not really.
Yeah.
Not really that different because he's doing the things in transition you want him to do. Now, should he be trying to dunk on Embiid? Like, it could have been an amazing moment, but it was like one of those like 1% moments where it's like, man, 1% chance that you're going to do this, Baze. But there is some excitement in that he is willing to go for those kind of things overall. But the Baze conversation is an interesting one. The Poku one is it's a simple one to me. It's play him 20 minutes with the big guys or send him to the blue.
Yeah. It feels a little bit like a demotion if you do it this year, more than last year. But hey, if that is the best way to give him time.
We don't know where he is developmentally.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
It is true. It is true. I hope that they will give him 15/20. With good players around him.
Yeah.
To me, it makes so much sense to have him being the first sub for Basile. Like, just do it.
Yeah.
Or sub favors and don't put Jerry in immediately. I know Jerry is playing well. But hey, he can be the second, the third off the bench. I'm sure he doesn't mind. But that's my idea. I mean, I just want to see Giddy, Shea, and Poku together, with Poku feeding off Giddy and Shea, because they can find good shots for him.
Yep.
And the shots where he was blocked were like very bad possessions overall that ended up in Poku's hands, and he had to do something.
And he had Tybal on him too, who has more length.
I think it was late on the clock.
It's late in the clock. Tybal's on him. He's got to put something up. His release is still lower than it needs to be. You know, there are a lot of factors that led to that happening. I'm with you. If it were me choosing, I would choose 20 minutes with a Thunder rather than 35 with the Blue.
Yeah.
But I don't get to choose. I don't get to choose that. And it's just is what it is. But one thing that we do know is that the rotation's not staying the same. Like, Isaiah Roby didn't play. He went from starting to not playing.
Because too bad.
Because they're tinkering with everything. And so
did you miss it?
No, absolutely not. is it possible that Poku plays 30 minutes in the next game? Sure.
Unlikely, but yeah.
Is it definitely more possible that he plays 20 minutes in the next game? 30 is going to be tough. 30 is tough off the bench. It's tough to play somebody 30 minutes off the bench.
Yeah.
You basically have to start them. And I don't think they're going to start Poku this season, unless there's an injury. That certainly won't happen. Okay, we're going to do some questions. Before we do questions, I want to remind you guys that we are having a Down to Dunk night at the Thunder Arena on November 15th. It's a Monday. We have sold out of our guaranteed spots for the live podcast.
Wow.
You can still get a ticket and go to the game and hang out with us afterwards. We're going to go down to the court. We're going to take a big picture. We are going to shoot a... Everyone's going to have a chance to shoot a half-court shot. If you make it, you get a cool Thunder prize pack, courtesy of the Oklahoma City Thunder, which will be very, very cool. So be sure that you come. You can still get to the live pod if you buy tickets now. You just don't have a guaranteed spot, and the space is pretty limited. So if you want... If you buy your ticket today, I'd say get to our live pod early to grab a spot, because there will be other spaces there. But they are the tap house, which is just across the street from the arena, is being quite strict on space. But the good news is, no matter where you are there, there's like an upstairs and a downstairs. There's a stage that we will be doing the live show on that... It'll be the FryPod crew plus Alex, which will be super fun. We'll miss McKelly dearly during that. But anyways, it's going to be really, really fun. My friend Dane is going to make a video of that night, so that we will put up on YouTube. I think we'll do the live pod and put that up on YouTube, and then we'll also have like a recap of the night with the half court shots and everybody in the crowd. Like, it's just going to be fun. It's just going to be one of those nights to remember for Down to Dunk listeners. So be sure to be there and hang out with us that night. You can go check it out. Just go, even if you don't have Twitter, like if you have Twitter, go to our page and there's the link there that's pinned. And if you don't have Twitter, you can Google Down to Dunk Twitter, and then you can click on the link from there. Is how you could approach that. Because I know some people are like, oh, I don't have Twitter. Well, you can still go to your web browser and search that way. That's about the best way I can tell you to get that. So, or if you really need it and you don't still can't access it that way, you can email me at dtdpodcast@gmail.com, and I'm glad to send you the link and hook you up. So, all right. Let's try to so answer jealous. Some questions. I know. I'm sad that you can't be there. McKelly is one of my favorite people in the whole world. I wanted to be there just cause, but it would make.
Hey, we'll make it happen. Not this time. Next one.
Yes, I would love that.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love it. All right, let's answer some questions before we go. We only have about 8 minutes left that we're going to do this. So here is the first question. It comes from Lester Freeman, a longtime listener, Lester Freeman. Do you question the decision to have Poku skip Summer League, given that his feel for the game seems to lag behind his individual skills? Seems like he needs some game experience more than skill development.
I don't think that his feel for the game is low. I actually think it's pretty high. Maybe he's not in game shape. That is probably right. He's not maybe up to speed in terms of reactions and stuff like that on some occasions. But I don't think he lacks feel. I mean, the pass that he made yesterday, or just take yesterday alone, that doesn't seem like a player that lacks feel. He may lack of reps. In that, I agree. I mean, he has to play. He has to play, and he has to play with the good ones. Because again, I think that he complements Shai and Giddy better than others. And his best games last season, I mean, probably the best was with Shai against Memphis. It was very good. So that's that again.
Yep. All right, this is a good one. I was actually thinking about this earlier. This is from @JMS_chemist. It's been great to watch Giddy and Shai, but I'm not sure we have enough shooting. Looking at the schedule, would you take the over or under 2 wins by Thanksgiving? So let's take a look at the schedule from here to Thanksgiving, and you just tell me win or loss. Golden State on Tuesday.
Loss.
Lakers on Wednesday.
Loss.
Yeah, I just wonder, LeBron may not play. One, LeBron just tends to not play in Oklahoma City for whatever reason. What about no LeBron?
Loss.
Okay. Golden State.
Probably more. Yeah. I would lean more heavily. I thought that if the team plays with everyone, maybe they just say, well, it's a game where they don't play defense.
Yeah.
Without LeBron, Russ will feel that this is a game that he cannot absolutely lose.
It's Westbrook's it will Super Bowl, man. This is it.
Yeah. Yeah. He will be in berserk mode. And anything can happen, but most likely, since AD is there, they will win.
I cannot wait. I honestly cannot wait for that one. Then they go on the road. Golden State, Clippers, Lakers. Are they going to win any of those?
Oh boy. No.
That's not good. So we're already at November 4th with no no wins. November 7th. This is where things get a little dicey. November 7th, they play in OKC against the San Antonio Spurs.
That's the first win of the season.
Okay, there's win number one.
Yes.
Okay, then they travel to New Orleans. November 10th.
That is win number two.
Okay.
Back-to-back wins.
I kind of think so, too. In OKC against Sacramento.
That is a good game
that
OKC will play up until the end, but Lu Dort will come up short from the corner.
Nets-Miami on the 14th and 15th. Nope. Houston Rockets, Wednesday, November 17th.
In OKC or in Houston?
In OKC.
That's a win.
Yeah, it feels like a win. Three. And then in Milwaukee, in Boston, in Atlanta.
No.
Yeah, those are all losses for sure. And then they play Utah at home the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That feels like a big fat nope to me too. So there's 3 wins. So you're taking the over.
Yeah, I think they will end up. What is Thanksgiving? Is 20 games total or less? 15?
18.
How many?
18. So
18. 3 and 18 sounds
3 and 15.
Perfectly reasonable to me.
Yeah. 3 and 15 feels about right to
yes,
have the worst
yes, 3 and 15,
to have
yes.
the worst record in the league.
Yeah.
And it's certainly possible. And that's kind of the thing about this early season schedule for the Thunder is that they have a lot of the bad teams toward the end of the year, which is probably where you're more likely to rest guys. And honestly, some of the bad teams are going to rest guys. Like they got Orlando twice in the span of 3 days in March.
Wow.
You know, like those will be big ones. Like, honestly, for the standings, those two Orlando games in March, they're going to feel so sad, but they're going to be two big games.
We'll see. Maybe my preview, I have them at 24, OKC. Maybe they will be at 12 and nothing will matter.
I mean, you look at the schedule and that it feels like 12 is possible. It really does.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you look at it though, Mikele, like it's, I mean, we have three, and then like they do have two more games against Houston still, which are toss-ups,
yeah.
Right? Those are absolute toss-ups. Yeah. I know Houston trucked the Thunder, whatever. They're toss-ups. Like they're close,
yeah.
Close to the same level of team. But then like Washington's better, Memphis is better, Toronto's probably better, Lakers, Dallas, Clippers, Memphis,
yeah,
Denver,
but then
Suns.
One here, one there.
I know. It's just, this is the same stuff we went over last year. But yeah, they'll win. They will win games they're not supposed to. Like they'll win.
Yeah.
They'll beat.
Less than last year.
Yeah. They'll beat the Clippers one of these games. They'll beat, you know, they'll beat somebody they're not supposed to. That will happen. But
yeah.
Still, it still feels like about 19-ish wins. That's where I had them.
Yeah.
It still feels about right, you know. And we'll see. They may, like, I wouldn't be shocked if they beat the Warriors or the Lakers in the next couple of days for their first win. I would not, it wouldn't shock me if they did that at home, especially the Lakers. I think, honestly, I think something that would be good for this young group would be beating the Lakers. Because I think they would get you on SportsCenter. It gets you
yeah.
in front of people. You're on national podcasts, people talk about you. You know, the Thunder beat the, you know, Josh Giddey. About, you know, you get some of that.
Yeah.
Like, that's good for them. Like, it's better that they beat the Lakers and lose to the Pelicans. You know, like it's just
sure.
It's just better for them. So
yeah, I think that I mean, they are shooting terribly from three, and it's not that they will necessarily be better. But there will be a game in which Poku gets into the game and nails the first three, and then you win just because
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, or Shea's not going to shoot so poorly from three the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Shea's been bad, straight bad, from three so yeah. far this season. That's not going to continue. There will be a week where he shoots 50% from three.
Yes.
And they will win two games. Two out of four that week or something like that. Yeah, because what is he... I mean, these percentages, like, they mean nothing today. Like, the number's so low, it just means absolutely nothing. But, like, right now, Shea is shooting 15% from three, you know? But it means nothing. And, like, the volume there, like, he's 3 of 19 from three on the season. Lu Dort, 3 of 17, 17%. Baisley, 1 of 13. Holy moly. Poku, 2 of 10. But then, like...
Hey, that's better.
Yeah. Josh Giddey, 2 of 5, 40%. On pace for 40%.
I'm losing my bet.
On pace for losing the bet, Mikele, right there. All right, we're going to end it there. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate you guys. This is it's fun that we get to do this every week. It's fun that we get to talk to you guys. Got to see some Down to Dunk listeners yesterday. Got to see Jesse and his wife yesterday at the game, which is really fun. It's just cool that we get to make connections with you guys through the show. Looking forward to making more connections with you guys on November 15th. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk to you guys again
on Wednesday.